Jesus went home, and the crowd came together so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called to them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." There was a movie premiere 40 years ago this weekend. 40 years. The theme song of the movie was a question. And when I asked my 4 and 6 year old great grandchildren that question, they shout out the answer 40 years later. I've tested this successfully with several people in the last few days. The question is, who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
See? The answer, Ghostbusters. The title of my sermon today is, Who You Gonna Call? Spoiler alert, the sermon is not about calling fictional Ghostbusters. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to ask this question, who are you going to call? And what do you think the answer will be? Who are you going to call? God, Jesus, yes, and more when we get there. Jesus, the original Ghostbuster. The original demon buster. The gospel writer Mark was a fantastic storyteller. Picture Mark as a traveling storyteller, going from town to town, synagogue to synagogue, even into individual homes, telling his story from memory. Sometimes actors would travel with him to perform the story that he was telling. Their purpose was to teach who Jesus was, Messiah, Son of God. And their purpose was to make disciples of this Jesus they were telling the story about. I went to a playwriting workshop here in Erie at the end of April. The leader of the workshop, Charlotte Stowe, a playwright, said that she likes to introduce antagonists the bad guys at the beginning of plays. And as soon as she said that, I thought of the storyteller, the playwright that we call Mark. We're only in chapter 3, and Mark has given us several antagonists. There's the religious authorities, scribes and Pharisees, Herodians, chief priests, elders and Sadducees. The Roman occupation itself was an antagonist. In Mark, the really, really bad guys are demons. They cause Jesus a multitude of problems. In the days of Jesus, demons were seen as the cause of every physical, social, emotional, and mental illness. The main demon was called the devil, Satan, Beelzebul. Jesus first meets this antagonist, this strongest antagonist in the Gospel of Mark, very early on, in Mark chapter 1, verse 12, at the beginning, the temptations in the wilderness. And now, as we heard, Jesus is accused of being Satan. He's accused of having Beelzebul within him. Now, today's reading, the gospel reading we just heard, is an example of a storytelling technique that Mark often uses. Bible scholars call it the Markan sandwich. It's called a sandwich because the writer starts a story, the first slice of bread, and then the story is interrupted by another story. That's the contents of the sandwich. And then the writer returns to the first story and finishes it, and that's the other slice of bread, and that's the sandwich. The Gospel of Mark has about 20 sandwiches. Today's sandwich started out by telling that the family of Jesus had heard that he was out of his mind, crazy. That's the first slice of bread, the family. And all of a sudden, Mark talks about the scribes. The scribes come in, the religious leaders whose specialty was the law. And they say that Jesus has Beelzebul. Beelzebul is a very derogatory name for the devil. And I won't go into the background of that now because I'm not supposed to use bad language in sermons. It's very derogatory. So there's family and the scribes, and then Mark returns to the family. And that's the sandwich. Family, in come the scribes, and then Mark returns to the family. Now this is a conflict sandwich. It's all about conflict. Jesus was in conflict with both his family and the scribes. And that's a major theme in the Gospel of Mark, conflict, especially with the demons. But this conflict today, this sandwich today, is really about forgiveness. This is a forgiveness sandwich. Now, this same conflict about forgiveness came up earlier in chapter 2. When Jesus healed a paralyzed man, forgiving his sins. The religious belief of the day was that only God can forgive sins. And with Jesus going around the countryside forgiving sins, he was considered out of his mind. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus is going around forgiving sins? Out of his mind. And the scribes considered him to be the devil incarnate. Now, I love to write and deliver sermons on forgiveness. But in my almost 50 years of writing and delivering sermons, I have always, always avoided talking about one part of today's story. It's often called the unforgivable sin. I've always avoided it. Well, here goes. It's a difficult concept. It's been the subject of articles and books and sermons for centuries. And in my opinion, it's always misused. Almost always misused. It's been used to judge and to condemn others. And more often, it's used to condemn unbelievers to an eternal hell. And that's a distressing thought, because Jesus makes it clear that we, that the disciples of Jesus, are never, ever to judge the salvation of others. That's not our job. That's not our calling. But this unforgivable sin has often been used to do just that. And I say wrongly. Listen again to what Jesus first said. The first thing, we listen to it and we need to focus on this statement. People will be forgiven for their sins, even blasphemies. That's the first thing he says. That's the good news of forgiveness. People will be forgiven for their sins, even blasphemies. But then he adds this eternal sin. He calls it an eternal sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's eternal, meaning you can never be forgiven for this. And that's why we call it the unforgivable sin. Jesus didn't call it that. We call it that. Now, I'm going to suggest an interpretation today that came to me just this past week. I've read dozens of sermons on this topic this week. I've read scholarly papers, and I've read articles about this. And I couldn't find anyone who gave the interpretation I'm about to present today. So take that for what it's worth. Okay, picture Jesus standing next to the devil. In this story today, this is what I think is happening. Jesus is giving us a choice. Do you really want forgiveness? Do you really want healing? Who are you going to call? The last place you should seek forgiveness and healing is the devil. The devil can't forgive you. Satan can't heal you. There is no love in Beelzebul. If you have appendicitis, you don't call your dentist. The healing that you need isn't there. If you have a problem with your furnace, you don't call your car dealer. The repair you need isn't there. When you need forgiveness, you don't call upon evil and hatefulness. You avoid evil and hatefulness when you want forgiveness and healing. When Jesus is saying that a sin is unforgivable, he's saying, don't look in the wrong places. If you're looking to evil and hatefulness, you're looking in the absolute wrong place for forgiveness. You don't go to the bad guys for forgiveness. As disciples, we rely on the Holy Spirit. We rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us, to inspire us. And so we ask the Holy Spirit, who should I call for forgiveness? Who you gonna call? Jesus. It's a Holy Spirit blasphemy to believe that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or God, is evil. It's a Holy Spirit blasphemy to believe that God is hateful. No, God is love. You won't find forgiveness through beliefs or actions or by embracing evil and hatefulness. It's not there. Those places are unforgiving. So the Holy Spirit never guides us to evil. The Holy Spirit always directs us to God, and there we find forgiveness. We turn to God. In Christ, and by his cross and resurrection, we have forgiveness for every sin. Now, I'm going to say something that I've never read or I've never heard anyone else say, but today I believe it with all my heart. Jesus, by his cross, Jesus will forgive the unforgivable sin. Jesus will forgive the unforgivable sin. Jesus is giving us a forgiveness sandwich, not a sandwich of condemnation and judging. In some of the sermons that I've read this past week, I've read these words: there's no hope for some people. I can't accept that. I will never accept that. In Christ, there is hope for everyone. There is always hope in Christ. In Christ, by his cross and resurrection, there is eternal forgiveness. There is healing. In Christ, there is love for everyone. This is the forgiveness sandwich. And as we put the whole sandwich together, we come to realize this is also a new family sandwich. Jesus created a family, which is to include everyone who does the will of God. And God channels divine forgiveness and healing and love through this family of Jesus. Jesus wasn't out of his mind. Jesus never ever did anything against the will of God. By his cross, Jesus rescued us from the bad guys. By giving his life on the cross, Jesus rescued us from evil and hatefulness. Jesus couldn't have been clear. He's basically saying, I am not the devil. I am not Satan. I do not have Beelzebul. And neither does my family. My family is eternal. My family is made up of those who do the will of God. That's what Jesus is telling us. And what is the will of God today? That you be forgiven in Christ. That you be healed in Christ. That you be loved in Christ. So I ask again, when you need forgiveness, who are you going to call? Jesus. And the family of Jesus. When you need healing, who are you going to call? Jesus. And the family of Jesus. When you need love, which is like always, who are you going to call? Jesus. And the family of Jesus. Our calling as the church, as the family that Jesus created. Our calling is to help people know the answer to that question, who you're going to call. It's our calling as disciples to get out into our daily lives and teach When you need forgiveness, who are you going to call? Jesus and the family of Jesus. When you need healing, who are you going to call? Jesus and the family of Jesus. When you need love, who are you going to call? Jesus and the family of Jesus. Let us pray. Think now in your minds and hearts of someone who is in need of forgiveness. Pray that they will call to Jesus and hear him say, "I forgive you." Think of someone who needs healing. Pray that they will call to Jesus and hear him say, "Receive healing." Think of someone who needs love. Pray that they will call to Jesus. And let us call to Jesus for them. And let us clearly hear Jesus say, "I love you and my family loves you."